Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and we're going to have a good hour for you today, as we usually do, but we have so many unique people with interesting subjects to share, points of information that you can use in your everyday life. My guest today is a repeat guest. Russell Targ is a man who has a phenomenal background, one that so many of us, if we had a chance to sit with him in our living rooms, would keep him there for hours. He probably wouldn't get any sleep at all, because Russell Targ is really into the world of science, and he co-created the Cold War spy program, believe it or not, that is the real X-Files. Yes, he worked with the CIA and NASA-sponsored work in remote viewing that's only recently been declassified, and he is currently retired. He likes to motorcycle. But he's an interesting man on so many levels. And Russell, it's a delight having you back as a guest on my show.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be with you.
You're a man, even though you have been told you're legally blind. You're out motorcycling.
Yes, I've been riding through the byways of Silicon Valley since 1970.
So you're just one of these people that's just not going to let life label you. If it does, you're going to say, that's okay. You can stick it on my back, but I'm going to move past it anyhow. You have been a man that has been so involved with the paranormal. All of the interviews I've ever done with you relates to remote viewing and the CIA and all that kind of stuff. But this book, Do You See What I See, is your story.
That's what I talk about, growing up in New York City, hanging out as a child on 42nd Street and going to the penny arcades and seeing magicians doing magic up close, being able to put a sleeve of 22 caliber bullets into a rifle and shooting at candles and ducks. Can you imagine that on 42nd? So a 12-year-old for a quarter gets to fire off a dozen rounds of live ammunition on 42nd Street and Broadway. See how things have changed now.
No.
But I learned about doing magic from the up-close magicians that did their work in the penny arcades. So I bought tricks and then did tricks on stage, and that was my introduction to experience psychic abilities. That when I would stand on the stage pretending to read the mind of someone in the audience, I would very often get psychic flashes of information pertaining to that person, and then I could fold that into my act. So I became friends with a professional parapsychologist like J.B. Ryan at Duke University, and as a young scientist thought it was more interesting to learn how ESP actually worked just instead of just continuing to fool adults.
Isn't it fascinating how sometimes the very thing we presume is not true and that we'll just make it up as we go along ends up catapulting us into a world of thought, action, and involvement, such as happened with you, that really changes your life?
Yes, next month I'm going to meet Kreskin, the great magician, and get a chance to talk to him about his psychic experiences, because he does a magic act but claims that he really has ESP, whereas most magicians are very negative towards psychic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be interested to see what he has to say. But it was learning to do magic on the stage and building a ESP teaching machine in the 60s that got me some credibility with NASA. So I was invited to a conference on speculative technology that NASA held, where I got to meet Arthur Clarke, the writer, and Wernher von Braun, and a bunch of NASA luminaries. And it turned out that von Braun was very successful with my little ESP guessing game. And told us all about his psychic grandmother in back in Germany, who always knew when something was going to happen, usually something bad. And it was von Braun's insistence to the director of NASA, Jim Fletcher, that got us our first money at Stanford Research Institute.
Amazing.
So we just stood out there on the pier, and von Braun said, give him some dough.
Fascinating. So many times, people in science, people in research, will have these flashes where they dip in mentally, or maybe something is dipped into their brain. Maybe there's a universal dipstick that they take takes out of itself and says, here, I'm going to give you a little bit of this so that you can get busy doing something. I think it's time for this to be developed. I don't know. I haven't a clue. But it's amazing to me how individuals will have such far-sightedness. You look at some famous authors like Jules Verne, science fiction writers especially, because they do it in a fictitious format. It seems as if they're able, like Arthur C. Clarke, to have this flow, because after all, this is not going to come true. This is all fictitious, and I don't have to put any limitations or barriers on that. Have you noticed that with a lot of your research?
Oh, yeah. Well, since I retired from aerospace, I've been traveling around the world teaching people to do remote viewing with great success, I should say. But I'm not really teaching them to be psychic. I'm giving them permission to make use of the psychic ability they already have. So what I've observed is that psychic ability is like vision or hearing or any other sense. And except it doesn't work quite as well, that his vision works much better than ESP. And our society, since the so-called Enlightenment, has disparaged ESP as being mystical or woo-woo or from the devil. And what I've been doing is simply showing people that they can quiet their mind and quite readily be able to describe hidden pictures or hidden objects or find their car keys or locate parking places. And in workshops, I have very, very good success in showing people that they have psychic ability. And even with little workshops, if I'm doing a book signing, sometimes I'll extend it and have people describe a little object I have hidden. And they do amazingly well. People are really astonished. There was just a few minutes of quieting their mind. They can see and draw and experience a surprising hidden object. So that's very much fun for me. It's a little like at my age now, 50 years later, I'm back to doing magic. So I've got a magic trick called the object in the box trick, where I show up and I have something in a little box or in a bag. But instead of my guessing what's in somebody else's bag, I can show a lot of people how to experience, and they see the picture in their mind on their mental screen and draw that. So I've got a new kind of magic trick that works really very well. And in my book, in my memoir, I show people in the book, Do You See What I See? I give people little exercises to get in touch with a part of themselves that's psychic, because that's what people want to do. People want to feel their psychic awareness, and I'm able to show them how to do that, and it's surprisingly easy to do. I just tell people to quiet their mind and look for the surprising image that appears on their mental screen. What appears in your awareness that's surprising, different from your ongoing chatter, and they're able to do that. So we all have this ability. And what's interesting is that when Hal Puthoff and I, two physicists, started the program at Stanford Research Institute, so we were doing remote viewing for the government, for the CIA, and then the government wanted to start their own program on the East Coast. And we trained half a dozen men and women from Army Intelligence, and then they set up a similar program at Fort Meade under the guidance of Army Intelligence. because they began to be nervous when they wanted to find a hostage or a downed airplane. They would have to go to Stanford to do it. Everybody's worried about having to go to a California psychic to get information. But the people that we trained, Skip Atwater, Paul Smith, Lynn Buchanan, Joe McMonagle, other people from the Fort Meade program are now all teaching remote viewing. And it's interesting, when we have a conference, the IRVA conference, International Association for Remote Viewing, all the men on the stage talking about getting in touch with your divine self, being at peace, being on earth to be helpful. So all these spiritually minded people are retired Army officers.
I love it. Just love it.
So what used to be a top secret program, if you go to Google on the internet and search for remote viewing, there's more than a million pages dealing with remote viewing. So we've really come very far. That is, what I'm describing to you is definitely not a secret anymore. People are very interested, and it's a increasing activity to do remote viewing and to teach it.
And I think it's marvelous. I really do. I think any time we can become educated and become aware of the innate talents that we have in ourselves, I think that that is awesome. So I just think that's fabulous. Your dad was once the editor-in-chief at G.P. Putnam in New York.
Yes, he was.
And he was the man that published The Godfather.
You know, he was a friend of Mario Puzo back in Chicago. My father had a bookshop and knew quite a lot of famous people. He knew James T. Farrell, who wrote Studs Lonergan, and Richard Wright, who wrote the very famous Black Boy and Native Son. And McKinley Cantor got a Pulitzer Prize for writing Andersonville. So my father had quite a little salon in his Clark Street bookshop in the 30s. Everybody was a communist, but my father was not. My father was very allergic to any kind of dogma, and he passed that on to his son.
Mm-hmm.
But he knew all, and he was friends with Nelson Algren and Fred Danay, who was Ellery Queen. So we had a lot of famous, interesting people come through our house when we came to New York City, and my father became a very successful publisher. He was able to bring forward all of these guys who were in their 20s and 30s, so the pals of my father became famous writers when my father became a publisher.
Well,
McKinley Cantor, for example, who wrote Andersonville, which he got a Pulitzer Prize, he also wrote a book about ESP that's not very well known. One of his earlier books was called Don't Touch Me. And in that book, see, our research is about remote viewing and out-of-body experience, where out-of-body experience is like remote viewing, but you can take with you all of your emotionality and sensitivity and sexuality, whatever you're comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
But as you take more and more of your emotional baggage, you're more and more likely to have a frightening or very engaging experience. We never wanted anybody at SRI to get that involved, because my partner, Hal Puthoff, and I are both only physicists, so we're not equipped to deal with somebody who comes back from an out-of-body experience and says, you've separated my consciousness from my body and I can't get back together. So we didn't want to have to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
We'd lose the program.
Mm-hmm.
But in McKinley Cantor's book, Don't Touch Me, he was in Korea, and he was able to have powerful sexual experiences with his wife, who was back in Los Angeles. Now, they're married, and they loved each other, so that was all cool. But the time difference was a thing. That he would come and visit her psychically and passionately, but she was driving on the freeway.
Whoops.
So the idea was okay, but the timing was bad. But he describes that in a 1950s book right after he came back from fighting Korea. So Cantor was a rough, tough character, wrote airplane books and war books, and Andersonville, which is all about the Civil War. But there's a lot of literature pertaining to sex on the astral plane. Our buddy Ingo Swann wrote a book called Psychic Sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
Ingo Swann is a New York artist and famously psychic character who taught Hal Puthoff and me how to do remote viewing at Stanford. So Ingo taught us, we taught the Army, and then the Army taught the world. But Ingo is still alive and painting in his Bowery loft on 4th Street in New York City.
Wow. Now, he's not doing remote viewing at this time. Is he still actively, professionally involved with people, or has he totally retired from that?
I would say he's retired from remote viewing.
Mm-hmm.
That is, from teaching. That is, once you've learned to be psychic in the world, you never retire from that any more than you retire from vision.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody teaches you to open your eyes and see the world as it really is, then you wouldn't retire from that. But he's not teaching remote viewing anymore.
You have the information about Bob von Gutfeld, who was an IBM physicist. You
yes.
talk about how you ended up being...
You know, the problem about getting older and older is that all your friends die. So von Gutfeld, who's a fabulous cellist, in addition to being a PhD physicist, is one of my last remaining friends in New York City that I went to college with.
Yes, and you talk about him, and also, let's see here, it's John that worked for the CIA's notorious MKUltra, mind control
program? MKUltra.
Yes, okay. And it was fascinating to me how they were teaching agents at the time how to slip LSD into drinks and load drugs into cigarettes. I mean, this information that's coming out about what these various operations were doing without the public even knowing about it.
That's right. The magicians were teaching the CIA how to load LSD into cigarettes. And Sid Gottlieb, who was in the basement of the CIA, was interested in using LSD to strip the consciousness out of people's mind. There was a psychiatrist in Montreal who was involved in trying to create a Manchurian candidate. The whole MKUltra program run by Sid Gottlieb was really horrific. It's as though Gottlieb was our own Joseph Mengele. He's a terrible person. He was interested in our ESP activity and wanted to know, could we enhance people's psychic ability by giving them LSD? And what we were able to tell them, what we were able to tell him, is that when people are high on LSD, they're not interested in taking part in the ESP experiment. You can't get their attention.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely true. That's something that many people had a difficult time understanding.
Now, smoking marijuana may make you feel psychic, but you're not actually very psychic.
Mm-hmm. There's a real integrated and involved area of chemical reaction, I think, in the brain. So it's not predictable.
That's right.
You just don't have the control because everybody's chemical physiology can be altered very dramatically. That's why a little drop of one thing can blow somebody's mind right out of the brain department, and others will feel nothing.
Yeah, LSD can give people insights as to the nature of their ego and how the ego is just a story, but in general it does not make... You can see lots of amazing things, but in general they're not part of what we call reality.
You talk about a man that is just very, very interesting. He was a former police officer, and his name is Pat Price.
Now, Pat Price was the police commissioner of Burbank, California, and he used his psychic abilities to catch criminals.
Mm-hmm.
And as he heard about our program at Stanford, he called up Hal Puthoff and said, well, I've been doing that all my life. I could probably help you guys. And one of his first tasks was to go with Hal and me to Berkeley and look for Patricia Hearst after she was kidnapped. So the SLA, Sudanese Liberation Army, kidnapped the heiress, young Patricia Hearst. Now, she was the daughter of William Randolph Hearst, Jr., the publisher of the San Francisco Examiner. So they're a very prominent family in this part of the world. And Hal Puthoff and Pat Price and I were called by the Berkeley Police Department, would we come and help find the heiress? And after we arrived at the police station, Price was able to ask the policeman for their mug book, the loose leaf binder of all the usual suspects. And as he would turn page after page, there are four pictures to a page, and he went through about 10 pages and then put his finger on a picture of a man and said, "That's the ringleader." And nobody had any idea what the Symbionese Liberation Army was. In fact, the newspapers were still looking for Symbia in a map of Africa.
Mm-hmm.
But Price put his finger on a picture of a man named Donald DeVries, who turned out in a couple of weeks to actually be the ringleader of the SLA. So that's the closest. I've seen a lot of psychic ability in my life, but that's the closest to magic that I've ever seen, because no one outside of the SLA had any idea what they were, who was running it, what it was about, where Patricia Hearst was, and Price was able, with no input at all, just to turn pages of this big book and put his finger on the man who was in charge. So that's one of the most remarkable things I've ever seen. And Price was able to then tell the police, if you drive north past an overpass, there'll be a couple of big gas cylinders standing across the overpass from a restaurant, and you'll find a white station wagon that was a kidnap car. And the Berkeley police dispatched a cruiser and indeed found the car with cartridges still rolling around on the floor, and were able to identify it as a kidnap car, because we had picked up cartridges from the room where Patricia Hearst was kidnapped from. So we knew it was the right car. And, of course, the kidnappers weren't there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But Price demonstrated that starting with nothing at all but a question, he could identify the perpetrator and then locate the car. Didn't have to go anywhere, didn't have to do anything. It was quite magical.
That is quite a resource for someone in the area of law enforcement to be able to utilize, and I'm sure he didn't talk about very much to those that were around him, because when he was coming up through life's experience, it was almost a no-no to even mention it.
That's right. He did not talk about his psychic experiences. In fact, it wasn't until our program was declassified in 1995 that I could talk about this at all.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, the deal that we made with the CIA is that we could publish our findings about remote viewing and how it worked, but we couldn't mention the name of our sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
So in 1995, as the program began to wind down, I got a permission letter from the CIA that I could begin to talk about their sponsorship. But the CIA ended the program in 95 because Robert Gates, who's now Secretary of Defense, decided that America no longer had any serious enemies. That was his assessment in 95. So he did not need a remote viewing program anymore. So that was the end of our program. Our program was at Stanford Research Institute from 72 to 1995. So we had a 23-year run and several million dollars a year. So this was a sizable program. And we did many interesting things. We found a downed Russian airplane with code books and an atomic bomb. And Jimmy Carter gave us special commendation for that. He also mentioned our program's name, blowing our cover and causing us to have to rename the program. I worked with Joe McMonigal, who looked at a map of Africa, said, I see the river. If you follow the river north, there are mountains on the right, there's a village on the left, and the downed airplane is between the mountains and the village. He drew a circle, and that's where the airplane was, and we found it before the Russians. So we did a lot of operational things like that, in addition to thinking about intuitive diagnosis, which is inflowing information, and spiritual healing, which is outflowing your healing intention.
Mm-hmm.
So a remote viewer is inflowing information, and a healer has an intention to relieve pain and suffering. And my daughter was very involved in that. My daughter was a psychiatrist and famously did a published experiment where she had people all over America praying for half of her AIDS patients, and the patients who received the prayers had much better outcomes than the controls. There were 60 people in the group, and she then published that success in the Western Medical Journal. Does her AIDS patients who received prayers had fewer trips to the hospital, fewer illnesses brought on spontaneously, and had better self-report for how they felt. So it's a very positive experiment that's now been supported by the National Institutes of Health and a number of other places.
Russell, your life is a fascinating one. You talk in your book, because we're almost out of time, but I want to mention to my listeners, you talk about doing experiments with the mind for investing. You talk about programs, the case of ESP that disappeared from the PBS files, from Nova's files. You have so much in your book that just keeps you gripped, you might almost say, mentally.
And the good news is that people can learn to do that. It's not limited to a special few.
Right. And this is all information that I just think is marvelous. Now, what's your website?
People, my website is ESPResearch.com. ESPResearch.com. And if people write to me at the website, then we can communicate.
Great. Well, if remote viewing, if learning about a man who was involved in secret research development that is still going on to certain levels today, but we may not know anything about it publicly, but he discloses what he was involved with. And the story is fascinating. The book is titled, Do You See What I See? Memoirs of a Blind Biker. That's what you have on this. And, Russell, it's been a delight.
Thank you very much. I'm very happy to have a chance to talk with you.
It's been a pleasure. This is Donna Siebel. We're going to be going on a break in just a moment. Don't forget, ESPResearch.com. That's the website where you'll be able to communicate directly with Russell. He is actively involved still in teaching and interacting around the world. He has workshops. He's got all kinds of things going on. Go to the website, ESPResearch.com. Thanks again, Russell. This is Donna Siebel. We're going to take a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right, Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. And telephone lines are now open. If you would like to call in and chat with me, I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Here are the telephone numbers you can call in for. In the U.S., it's 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Also, 530-876-3222. All of those lines are open, and if you'd like to call in and chat, I'd be delighted to do that. Now, I do want to say, if you're a first-time listener, all I need from you is your first name or your initial. Then let me be the informational resource I can be for you. And then after that, you're welcome to ask a question about anything you like. So it's real simple, real easy, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. Well, as I'm looking out my studio window here, the winds are beginning to come up again. Fall is very much here in the Pacific Northwest. The leaves have started to turn. They actually were turning back at the latter part of August, and now they're starting to fall away from the tree. So it's really something to watch. And wherever you are, I hope you're warm and cozy. And I've got a couple of things I'm going to be sharing with you. One, get a pad of paper handy and a pen, because I have got an absolutely marvelous recipe for some orange chocolate cookies. I don't know why, but when it starts getting cooler like this, it seems like you want to have the soups and you want to start baking. There's just that urge to get in the kitchen, and there's nothing like a house filled with the fragrance, the delicious fragrance of chocolate, orange cookies, bacon, you know, any kind of cookie baking, and bread. Oh, can't beat it. So I'll be sharing that with you sometime before the end of the hour. Also, I wanted to give you some information about upcoming appearances. I know we've got a caller on the line. I'm going to mention one right off the bat, and that is, if you're calling or if you're in the state of Washington, I will be appearing this Saturday, all day, at the Boeing Parapsychology Expo. I'm going to be there. I'll be doing many consultations, and I am going to have buku amount of books that you can look through and select from. So come on by, say hello, and maybe even take some time to visit. Donna Sebo here. Let's go to our first caller of the day. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Hi, I'm Marisol, calling from California.
Where in California, dear?
Chino, California.
Chino. Okay, great. And what was your first name again?
Marisol.
Marisol.
Yes.
That is a very unique name. Okay, Marisol, the first thing I am looking at with you is hard work. There's no shortcuts in the next couple of years, dear. You are going to really have to pay attention and do what needs to be done. No excuses. No shortcuts here. Just put one foot in front of the other. It's as if you have a road map. If you follow it, you're going to find yourself achieving what you want to achieve. If you don't follow it, you're going to find yourself flip-flopping around like a fish out of water, and then you're going to get frustrated. So let me give you an example. Let's say you wanted to be a nurse. So you go to school, and you have to go through that particular agenda. You serve maybe an internship during the interim of the education and find, well, you just don't want to be a nurse. You want to go into another area of medicine, and so you combine it. You need to follow the steps required. If you try to take shortcuts because someone says, don't bother with this, don't bother with that, don't bother with the other, and I just use nursing as an example, realize the only one that's going to be shortchanged is you. You must talk with those persons that you respect, that you really know, that have the background, the expertise, and find out from them what they would recommend. Don't waste your time talking to someone that hasn't a clue. It's not going to work. They're not going to be aware of the specifics you need. So whether it's being involved in the area of medicine, whether it's car mechanics, I don't care. The same thing applies. And these headaches that you get every once in a while, they are coming about because you have a tendency to clench your teeth. And when you go for long periods of time without food, then what occurs is that you have like a blood sugar drop, and then there is a lack of oxygen in the system. So remember to have water that you can drink, first of all, to keep the body hydrated, and maybe add a little bit of juice to that water. Doesn't have to be a whole bunch, because you're very conscious about your weight, what you take in, and you need to be aware that you must have little munchies during a day so you keep your blood sugar up where it's supposed to be. Do you have a question for me?
Okay, yes, I'll be moving in with my brother. Is there anything I should know as far as when the best time to leave would be?
You've lost me. You're moving in with your brother, but you want to know the best time to leave?
Yeah, well, it's in Hawaii. I pretty much have to drop everything and just go. He's just waiting for a date. I'm not sure that I don't feel ready to go yet.
What are the circumstances? Because this isn't clicking with me at all. So I don't understand why you feel you've got to go move with your brother. Is he having financial problems and wants you to...
No, I am.
All right.
So it's pretty much for a fresh start, I guess.
Okay. You need to, again, this is what I was referring to. You need to look at facts. Instead of running from where you are right now, which would be very easy to do, to go to Hawaii.
That's why I feel uneasy about it, I guess. Yeah, I kind of felt like it was more of an escape than...
Yes, you're exactly correct.
Yeah,
so,
okay.
So, without going into a lot of explanation on this, you need to sit down, and it's a good way to do it is just with a pad of paper and a pen, and write out exactly what your circumstances are, what you need to deal with financially. If you went to move in with your brother, what would that cause you to do? You've got a tremendous expense just going over there.
Well, he's paying for it. He's just offering to help me get on my feet.
Well, that's fine. But I think there's other ways that that could be done. And you need to ask yourself, if you want to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps.
Yeah, I do.
All right. Then that's something you have to examine, dear. You have to look at, and you have to have clarity with. Remember what I said at the beginning. There's no shortcuts. There's no easy way. So this is something you need to do for yourself.
Okay.
And I think it's wonderful he's supportive of you. I think that's great. But this is your challenge. You need to look at how you got into this situation, and don't beat yourself up over it, but just say, this is why I'm here. Now, for me to go from point A to point B, I'm going to need to do this, this, and this. And I think you'll be able to pull yourself out of it. And I would just say, save that ticket for me so that when I want to come visit, to have fun, not to run away from my problems, but to have fun and to really visit with you, then I'll be able to do that. Because it's a whole different environment. There's nothing wrong with the island, but work is going to be a lot harder to come by. There's a lot of things that you would have to contend with. And he is going to be very protective of you and taking on a father's role with you. And you never liked taking orders from him in the beginning, so what makes you think you'd be any happier over there when you get there?
True. Okay.
So be good to yourself, be honest with yourself, and don't be afraid of the challenge that's in front of you. You can beat it.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Myrtle, have a fabulous day.
Okay, you too.
Bye-bye. This is Donna Siebel. Telephone line is open, 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. Also 530-876-3222. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. Also, I wanted to let you know that I am going to be in Tampa, Florida next week. I'm going to be doing a live broadcast at Teresa Tapp's Physical Fitness Retreat. And I'm really looking forward to this because this is something that is going to give me a firsthand view and interact and have a chance to interview some of the people that have been involved with her program and that have really transformed their lives physically, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. So we're going to have a chance to do that next week live from Tampa, Florida. Then I'm going to be on the road again going to San Francisco. I'm going to be appearing at the Wisdom Festival at Fort Mason in San Francisco. I'll be there the 17th, 18th, and 19th of the month of October. This is a marvelous event. If ever you wanted to go to San Francisco and have fun doing things and attend an activity such as the Wisdom Festival where you meet people from all over the world, products and services are coming in there from all over the world, and it's going to be conveniently available for those 3 days. And then you can come and be with us at the Wisdom Festival and go out and party in San Francisco, which is one of the greatest cities in the world. So I invite you to go to their website, wisdomfestival.com. You can check out all of the information that you need to know, directions to Fort Mason, the hours, etc. All of that will be available for you. And then I'm going to be speaking there as well as a number of other people from around the country. So do come by. Say hello. I will have a booth there, and we'll be delighted to interact with you. Donna Sebo here. We will be taking a break in just a moment. Remember I said to have that pad of paper handy, well, along with a pencil, because I've got a fabulous recipe for chocolate orange cookies. And I also want to share a series of thank yous. Thank you, thank you, thank you to those people who have been sending me stories. I've got some wonderful, wonderful material, and I'm going to try to share with you as I go along in the program. Also, tomorrow we're going to be talking about Native Americans, doctors, lawyers, Indian chiefs. Tom Benjay is going to be my guest. We are going to find out about some of the very renowned Native Americans and the contributions they have made. And then on Friday, we're going to be talking with Bill George, who is the author of a fabulous book, True North. This is about finding out about what really is most meaningful to you. Well, he's got a workbook now, and we're going to be discussing that on Friday. So we've got some great people coming up, and of course, before we know it, it's going to be October. And then we'll be discussing who's going to be coming up then. My newsletter will be coming out, and you'll be able to find out about that. The guests that I will have on the air through my newsletter. And if you would like to subscribe and get a free copy of the newsletter every month, great. Just send me your email address. Send it to Donna@DelphiInternational.com. And then I will pop one out to you at the first part of the month. Also, you will be able to access it on my website. In fact, you can go in. Somebody, I did a radio show last night, and they were saying, oh, Donna, I love your recipes. I said, go on in and check out my newsletter, because every newsletter has a delicious recipe. And last month, I had one for dogs. Yes. I figured I had to remember some of our canine friends. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break for just a moment. Don't go away. We'll share the recipe with you, if we have the time, how you can see through any scam. And, well, a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Donna Sebo here. We'll be right back.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1- 800-872-8852.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Okay, do you have that pen and pad of paper handy? Here we go with a scrumptious cookie. And you know, with the holidays coming, this might be something you'd want to make up as a gift for a friend. Really easy. Now, you're going to need 2 cookie sheets. You want to have some parchment paper. You can get that at your grocery store. By the way, I learned something about parchment paper. I learned that there's an unbleached parchment paper. It's brown. But it doesn't have any chemicals in it. There's no bleaching process to make it the white that we're so used to. So I just thought I'd fill you in on that. I don't know where you get it. I would imagine a health food store might have it. Now, this is what you're going to need in the way of ingredients. This makes about 30 cookies. You need a third of a cup of butter. You need 1/3 cup of butter, and that needs to be softened at room temperature. 1/3 cup of super fine sugar, 1/3 cup of super fine sugar. You're going to need an egg, and all of these ingredients really should be at room temperature. Then you're going to need a tablespoon of milk. That's whole milk. That's not skim milk. You need 2 cups of all-purpose flour, 2 cups of all-purpose flour, 1/4 cup of unsweetened cocoa. And you could use milky chocolate type, or if you really like dark chocolate, use the dark chocolate. Now, that's all that you need for the cookies, but you're going to make a frosting, and you need 1 cup of confectionery sugar. You want to sift that. You need 3 tablespoons of orange juice and a little bit of dark chocolate. You can use chocolate chips, and I'll tell you how you can do that. Now, this is what you do. You want to put your parchment paper on your cookie sheets. That's step number one. Number two, you want to take your butter and your sugar, and you want to beat them until those two ingredients are nice and light and fluffy. Then you want to add the room temperature egg and milk into the mixture, and then combine them well. Now, in a separate bowl, you want to sift together your flour and your unsweetened cocoa, and then you want to add your wet ingredients to that you've just mixed, and you want to mix it together, and it'll form a very soft dough. Now, you want to use your hands in the latter part of this mix because you may find you have to use your fingers to thoroughly incorporate the last of the flour you use and bring all the dough together. So the warmth from your hands, think good thoughts as you're putting all this together, and then you're going to just have a real soft chocolate dough. And what you want to do then, you want to roll your dough out onto a lightly floured surface. And you don't want to roll it real thin. You want it about 1/4 inch thick. And then you want to take a round cutter. And if you wanted to have a pattern, you can use a fluted cookie cutter. But you want to have it about 2 inches in circumference. And you want to cut out as many cookies out of that chocolate dough as you can. And you re-roll your dough and trimmings and cut out even more. Remember, about 1/4 inch thick. Now, you put your cookies on the prepared cookie sheet, you space them apart, and you bake them in a preheated oven, which would be at 350 degrees, for about 10 to 12 minutes. And you need to watch them, depending on how the cookies cook. When it gets to the 10-minute mark, you may want to check them, because sometimes our ovens are a little bit hotter than we expect. So you don't want these overcooked. And then, once they're cooked, you want to put them on to the side, and then you want to put them on a cookie rack so that they'll cool completely. Now, the frosting is so easy. You take your confectionery sugar that you have sifted, you put it in its own bowl, and you stir in enough of the orange juice to form a thin frosting. This isn't a thick frosting, it's a thin frosting. You'll know you've got enough juice when, as you're mixing it, you will find that the frosting is thin enough that when you dip the spoon out into it, it coats the back of the spoon. It just sticks to it. So you want to spread the frosting over your cookies. Just put a little dab on each one. Just let it set. Then, if you have some chocolate chips, depending on your preference, milk chocolate or the dark chocolate, I always like the dark chocolate, put that into a little Pyrex dish of some kind, microwave it until it's liquidy. And that may take you maybe a minute. Do it at 15-second intervals just to be sure that, you know, it's not overheated. So what you do then is take it and drizzle it. Dip a spoon into it and just drizzle it over your cookies on the parchment paper and allow the chocolate to set. And you have these wonderfully delicious cookies. Yes, light, but with that wonderful tangy orange frosting that goes so deliciously with chocolate. It's a wonderful combination. So that's that. I promised you that recipe. I wasn't able to get to it yesterday, but I have time today, so I wanted to do that. And quickly, before we end up closing out the show today, I was going to share some information about how you can see through scams, especially on the Internet. There have been things that have happened. I had something happen to me. I didn't even order anything, but I was investigating something, and I ended up having something put on my telephone bill, which is totally outrageous. It's supposed to be canceled, and then I get my telephone bill this month, and these people are charging me again for some other thing under a different name. It's just unbelievable. So be aware, when you do stuff on the Internet, you may end up getting scammed, which happened to me. So before you give any personal or financial information online, look at the address line to make sure the HTTP has turned into HTTPS. That's right. There's an S on the end of that. It means that it's a secure site. And you want to look below to find a small icon, usually in the bottom right-hand corner. It's often an open lock that locks once the site is secure. If none of these appear, think twice before filling out any information or paying any money. You might want to do some research. If there's no phone number, that's a bad sign, and you want to be sure that you can have access to a customer service line if necessary. There's a lot of stuff going on there out there. You just need to be savvy. Well, we're out of time. This is Donna Sebo. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. You've got so much to offer. There is so much that's going on in this world that needs what you can give. Don't be afraid to stick your neck out and invest in yourself, because you are the total package. When you invest in yourself, then people are going to want to invest in you and perhaps even use your products and services. So go for it. It's a good world to be living in for all of the upheavals, and you are needed. This is Donna Sebo. See you here, same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.